Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Now, we have been speaking over the last few weeks on the subject of categories of miracles. Now, it says in Galatians, the third chapter, verse 5, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Well, of course, the answer is by the hearing of faith, because faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And we know this according to Romans 10, verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So since this is the case, we thought that it would be good to go through the Bible, specifically through the ministries of Elijah, Elisha, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and find out how God is most likely to use his miracle power, the tendencies of the Lord. Because if we find the tendencies of God, then we can apply our faith in those same areas and know that God is not only willing, but able, or not only able, but willing to use his power for us in those same areas. Now, we went through, those of you who have been listening and downloading, we have gone through and we have found out the categories, and then we began to look at the subject of what kind of person is God likely to use his miracle power for. And our last podcast, we looked at God is most likely to use his healing or his miracle power for an entire city, the kings, the influential, widows that are in debt, ministers' wives who are in debt, women and people who are rich and wealthy, ministers in training, unbelievers. God will use his miracle power even for unbelievers. I mean, God loves all people. Ministers in debt and ministers' helpers. And then we left off with Elisha's ministry, and now today we are going to move in to the ministry of Elijah. So turn with me first off, if you would please, to 1 Kings, 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And it says in verse 41 of 1 Kings 18, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Now, we find here that because of divine judgment that was brought on, came into manifestation because of the prayers of Elijah, that now the time of that judgment is ceasing, and Israel, that has not had rain for 3.5 years, has now positioned itself, and rain is coming. And so the rain is coming, not for one person or two people, but for an entire nation. God moved by his miracle power so that an entire nation would be blessed. Well, my God is still in that arena today. For just in a few short years, we'll see. God used his supernatural miracle power on the behalf of one nation that we know according to Scripture, and that is the nation of Israel, with all of her enemies round about her, with all of those who have been antagonistic towards her since her recreation as a state in 1948, as they are gathered round about Israel, God's miracle power will come into manifestation, and the Almighty God will save Israel and spare Israel by the power of his mighty arm. So, we have seen now that God will use his miracle power for an entire nation. Praise God. Now let's go over this week again to John, the Gospel of John. and find in Scripture. Praise the Lord. And look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth and find the kind of people that God is most likely to use his miracle power for. So, John the 4th chapter, verse 46, and I'll read for you. And it says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Well, we'll just continue reading. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Jesus used the miracle power for one who was influential, a nobleman in the city. My friends, just as I said in our last podcast, I say again, God is not moved by if you have a lot or if you don't have a lot. God loves all people. God gives helping hands even to those who have. Now, sometimes in our society, people are only expected to give helping hands to those who don't have. Well, though that is important, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have found by the miracle power of God, that God will also extend his healing power, his miracle power, to those who have. Because many times, my friend, you may have all the money in the world, but it will not get you out of your situation. God will help all who will come to him. John the 5th chapter, we can read, and it says in verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the Sabbath day, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Notice this, the miracle power went into operation for one who had no help. He had no one to assist him to get into the troubled water. Let me tell you, you can be without help in this world, but our God, the God that is not a respecter of persons, will help you. Praise be unto God. He will help those that have no help. Now, I believe as when we conclude the miracles and the ministry of Jesus in the book of John, that it would be good to come back to that because people need to hear more about the Lord helping those who have no help. But let's go on for now to John the 6th chapter. John the 6th chapter, and verse 1 says this, after these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this is he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down, and number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remaineth, that nothing be lost. Let me tell you what, my friends, Jesus used his miracle power for followers of the Word, those who had come to place themselves underneath the Word of God. That's why, my friends, it is important in this hour for you to get under the Word of God whenever possible. You need to be a part of a Bible-believing, faith-teaching, miracle-believing, hands-laying-on, devil-casting-out church. My friends, God's miracle power went into operation for these who had submitted themselves for these days unto the Word of the living God to hear the instructions that come forth from the Word. So, followers of the Word can expect God's power to be in operation for them in this hour also, because the Lord changes not. Notice what it says on. Verse 16, And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, in verse 17, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Immediately. Some supernatural occurrence happened, a dematerialization of a ship and people, and the place that they were in the midst of the sea. And we know that by studying other recorded instances of this same event. They were in the midst of the sea, and from that point, they were translated to that place that they were going immediately. Now, who did he use his miracle power to cause this immediate happening to take place for? He did it for his disciples, those who were true followers of him and walked with him and fellowshipped with him, communed with him. Those are the ones that got the miracle power. So see, folks, it's not all the time just those who have a need in a certain area. God will use his miracle power, we're seeing, for anybody. He'll use it for those who follow him, the disciples we find, those who have no help, the influential, the poor, the needy. He will use his miracle power for all. John 9. Because remember, the Lord is not a respecter of persons, my friend. God desires to help everybody in this hour. So let's go to the next one and find out some more about who he is most likely to use his healing power for. John, the 9th chapter, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? There's the question Jesus is getting ready to answer. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. The question has been answered. Put a period there in your Bible. But, it's a conjunction, but with a capital B, a comma after, because you need to know that in the original text there was no punctuation. So he's answered the question, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, period, capital B, but with a comma, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Praise be unto God. You know, he said that he must work the works of him who sent him. And notice what he did. He healed the blinded eyes. Did you know you can look at Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, verse 7. First off, it says, Behold, my servant, in verse 1, speaking of the Lord Jesus, This is a messianic prophecy speaking of the one that is to come. But one of the first things that it says of him says he's going to be a light for the Gentiles. Numbers verse 7 says, to open the blind eyes. One of the great markers for the Messiah was the opening of blind eyes. Here we have him doing the works of him that sent him. And what's he doing? He is opening blind eyes. He is showing that he is the anointed one and that he is carrying the anointing of the living God. But notice this, this blind man was not even expecting to be healed. Jesus healed one who was unexpectant and did not know that there was a healer in the house. Oh, praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. John 11, if you would please. We know the situation here was with Lazarus, and Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and surely he stinketh by now. It says, and Jesus raised him up from the dead. And to keep from reading that entire chapter, you can do that on your own, we can find out that Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and Jesus performed his miracle power on one that was his friend. Oh, it's good to be a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can go to the next one in John 21. John chapter 21. Hallelujah. It's such a joy to be speaking to you in this hour because Jesus is coming soon. I always like to leave people with that fact. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Are you ready, my friend, for Jesus to come back into those clouds of glory and call the church unto himself? If you're not in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is time to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I'm not talking about being a member of some building or some group of people. I'm talking about being a member of the true body of Christ, those who are redeemed and blood-bought, those who have received the benefits of the redemptive work in their lives and in their heart. By believing in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessing with their mouth Jesus as Lord. Hallelujah. If you're not a member of the body of the living Christ, you need to prayerfully consider today. You need to set yourself up with Romans the 10th chapter and look in verses 8 through 10 and find out that you need to be born again in this hour. And then when you receive Jesus, contact Pastor David. Contact him. Get on his website, www.davidoaksministries.org, and contact us and tell us that you've made a decision to serve the Lord. And if you have been born again, but you're not living a proper life, and you know you're not living a proper life, I have news for you according to 1 John, the first chapter, verse 9, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Our Lord, by the power of his blood, is simply waiting patiently for you to come back to him, to get your life correct with him, and to serve him these last days we have on the earth. If you're getting ready now to renew your relationship with or your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, give us a contact. Contact us at davidoaksministries.org. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let's look here again at John 21. That was a little commercial message for the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Chapter 21, Jesus is going down through here. Hallelujah. And it says, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself. Well, after what things? Well, Jesus Christ had been crucified. He raised from the dead on the third day. He walked upon the face of the earth, we know, for 40 days, ministering, expounding the scriptures. But now, glory be to God, he has appeared, and this is after his resurrection. Well, let me tell you what, my friends, we still live after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We still live in that day after his resurrection. If we find that he performed a miracle after his resurrection, I've got news. He's still performing miracles after his resurrection because it's still after his resurrection. Goes on down, verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Everybody say they caught nothing. Just say it out loud wherever you're at. They caught nothing. They had nothing. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now remember, this same thing happened with Jesus and Peter. And when Jesus borrowed the boat to preach from, and then after he finished preaching, he said, well, just launch out there into the deep and cast your nets. And they brought in so many fish that it nearly sunk Peter's boat and sunk his partner's boat. Now, that was before the resurrection. This is after the resurrection when Jesus makes a reappearance to his disciples. And notice he performed the same kind of miracle. This, to me, is a great revelation and a great encouragement that he did it pre-resurrection and post-resurrection. He used his miracle power in the same fashion. Notice what it says in verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Folks, I want to say that one more time so you can get the importance of it. Now get this. He performed the same kind of miracle pre-resurrection as he did post-resurrection, before the resurrection and after the resurrection. That gives us insight, my friends, that he is able to do the same thing today after his resurrection, after his glorification, as he was before it. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. This is a marvelous insight into the Word of God. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Notice what it goes on to say. I'm going to read that again in verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, and he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. He used his miracle power once again for his disciples. My friends, the thing that we need to understand, though, is that his arm has not been shortened after Jesus left his earthly ministry. Glory to God. He said that he would send us another comforter. And the works that he did, and greater works, would we do. Praise the Lord. He is still the miracle worker. So we found out today that he used his miracle power for the influential, a ruler, for those who have no help, for followers of the word, for the disciples, for the unexpected, and for friends of Jesus. Now, earlier I said I wanted to go back to one that we looked at, and that was to those who have no help. Acts, the 10th chapter, my friends, Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 34, says this, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, that was speaking about salvation. Before, the Jews were the only ones with a covenant, but we've been allowed, that middle wall of partition has been torn down between us, that it says in Ephesians. And those of us without a covenant have been able to come in to a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus, those that were not born Jewish. Let me tell you what, God is no respecter of persons. Those of us who were Gentiles, who have called upon the name of the Lord, now have a covenant relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Now I want you to turn with me to another scripture. Go back to John, the 5th chapter. Hallelujah. John, the 5th chapter, verse 7 says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. In other words, he had no helper. All of the people who were not as serious as him, who were able to get up on their feet and jump in the water, were jumped into the water before he could get there because he couldn't walk. So the minor cases, the less serious cases, were the ones who got the help. But I tell you what, Jesus is here to be a helper to those who have nobody to help them. In fact, look with me to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Oh, my friend, this is good news to have. When you think you don't have any help, you've got to help. He is the helper. Psalm 72, verse 12 says, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper." So he'll not only help the needy, not only will he help the poor, he'll help the person who has no help. Did you hear me? When you don't have anyone to assist you, he is there to assist you. Little woman who might be divorced and you just don't know how you're going to make it, I've got news for you. The Lord God Almighty and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost are helpers. They're helpers. You've got a helper in the Almighty God. Now look here with me, if you would please, to Hebrews 13. This is such good news. Hebrews 13. It says in verse 6, well, let's read verse 5. "Let your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Notice who, again, our helper is. Our helper is the Almighty God. You might think that you don't have help, but you have help. Well, turn with me to another scripture, because we have a little time. I want you to know that you have a helper. That's one reason why you can believe that God will use His power on your behalf. The whole point of this study is to let you know that God will use His power on your behalf. Why? Because there are certain things that man cannot perform in his own strength. We need somebody to help us. Look here with me in John, the 14th chapter, verse 16. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." The Amplified Bible says, not only Comforter, but that He'll give you another helper. Praise be unto God. God is a helper. And Jesus Christ is getting ready to leave the face of the earth. He's completing His earthly ministry. And He's saying that He's going to turn over the ministry to another Comforter. Jesus was a Comforter. Now He's turning it over to another Comforter. Verse 26 of that passage of Scripture tells us, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." And we know, if we're students of the Bible, that the word there in Greek is parakletos. And parakletos means an advocate. It means a helper, means a comforter, means a standby, means intercessor. And so, with that helper, Jesus said, who was only ministering physically in the nation of Israel and the Decapolis in Syria and Tyre, Sidon, around that area where the Jews were, because He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now He's getting ready to depart, but He says, "I'm going to send you back another comforter, another parakletos, another helper. I'm sending you back." And He is not constrained by being in the flesh. He can be all places at all times. He is omnipresent, is the Holy Ghost, and He's there to help you. Wherever you're at right now listening to this podcast, wherever you're at, the Holy Ghost is there, and He is your helper. He is the other comforter. He said, "I'm going to send again another comforter to help you." He is the helper. Well, let's just look at one other scripture. Well, praise the Lord. We're not going to be able to look at that scripture, but you can turn on your own to 2 Chronicles 14 and read verses 1 through 15. And verse 11 in the Amplified Bible says this, "There is none besides you to help." The Lord God is the helper, and there is no other one that can help you in your need, in your dire situation. My friends, this is David Oaks, pastor of the Light Church Fellowship, saying thanks for being with me again for this edition of the Light Church Podcast.